DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And welcome back in, third and final hour here on Tuesday's program. And it is time now to check in with Rosemary Gill, the president and CEO of the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center, to find out how all of the renovations are going over there at the Z. Good morning, Rosemary. How are you?
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing well. I'm sorry that I missed you at the tour, but I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, when everything all comes together over there at the Zeitarian. It seems like things are moving along pretty well.
They are. They're just moving better than we expected, and we're sorry we missed you too. Another time, there'll be more opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, we've talked quite a bit about, you know, some of the things that we can expect, but how are things coming along? What's the current progress level of some of these renovations?
Well, we're probably at about 50% completion, and that's fairly on track with what everyone expected. So that's feeling really good. We've completed all of the demolition that needs to happen, which means that we're pretty much past the point where any surprises might come into play. So we're not, you know, we've already pulled down all of the walls where some surprises were and, you know, dug up and found ledge that we weren't necessarily expecting. So those kinds of things we're past, and now we're starting to rebuild.
And so, you know, you say 50% completed, but is it are you expecting this to be 50% through the timeline, or is it possible that things might move a little bit faster or slower now in the next phase of things?
We're moving pretty much on schedule. We're looking at completion towards the end of this year. And, you know, in the final month, probably or so of the year, the front of the house, the kind of the four floors of the building, in front of the theater or the auditorium, that's moving around, that's moving quicker than, everyone expected. And the theater portion of it where, most of the restoration is taking place, That's moving about on track on the time frame that everyone thought.
And the important thing here is, you know, you've got to take care and caution with some of this because you are dealing with a historic structure. So you can't just come in, you know, sledgehammers ablazing and just start taking things down. You've got to be careful because you want to preserve as much of the original as you can.
Oh, most definitely. A great deal of care has been taken for that. We've spent many years planning for this and working with the folks in the city and the state and even on the federal level who are professionals in historic preservation.
And as you said, you know, you found some things that you weren't expecting to find, but that in general, I mean, you got to think it's been 100 years since some of these walls have been peeled back. So that's not a surprise. I can imagine what it must be like on a daily basis to be digging into this history of it and seeing like, wow, like a 100 and something years ago now, 103, right? Well, we'll be 100. So like, how much history is in these walls that you probably didn't even think about, you know, looking at what was on the exterior of those walls all these years.
Yeah, it's been beyond what any of us anticipated and expected. We're not finding any, you know, real hidden jewels behind any of the walls or anything, but just the way that they built the building and, you know, it's just been such a privilege to be involved in this project it's forced us to really think about 100 years of New Bedford history and what life must have been like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
And as you're building this now for the next 100 years plus, you know, you're reshaping the space into something that will be more of a, you know, just more opportunities for the community. And so I wanted to kind of get into some of that today. So, you know, some of these areas that people will be able to utilize and some of the features that'll be there.
Yeah. So we are mostly on the front of house, which I spoke of a little bit earlier. So those the four floors, which include the basement, the first floor where the lobby is, and then the second and third floor. We are activating some spaces that were derelict up until this project. And what we're imagining is, and we've spent a lot of time thinking about this and planning for this, we are imagining, you know, and considering what it really takes to be part of our community and for this building to be a welcoming space for everyone in the community and for it to be a vibrant, you know, a vibrant, living, active space, not only on nights where there might be a performance in the theater, but during the day and, you know, on a Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening. We're very much planning for the community to not only, you know, come into the building, but to use the building as their own. And for us to not be the only one that, you know, that is programming the building. And so we've been planning with various partners in the building, you know, various partners in the community, and really reimagining how spaces like the Speakeasy or the Movement Studio or the second floor lounge or some of the classrooms that we'll be building, how that will be used. And we are designing them and, you know, fitting them so that they can be flexible spaces, so that it's not just a single use, so that, you know, a space like the Speakeasy can be used for obvious things, you know, for performances, but also for, you know, a party or a social gathering or a family celebration, so that the entire building perhaps could be used for a convention or a wedding. So, you know, we are seeking to be, you know, as I mentioned, a welcoming place, but also a beacon of creativity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking how many people love to have, you know, 1920s themed parties now that we're in the 2020s. How great would it be to be able to do that in a Speakeasy, you know, and be able to utilize that space? And or people that want to host like a murder mystery fundraiser event or things like that. You have the opportunity now to be able to rent out these spaces.
Yes, yes. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. Well, on the third floor, we'll have a beautiful movement studio that can be used for dance classrooms, you know, for dance, yoga, but also could be like a black box theater.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and that's a thing that people, you know, these are areas that people have never even seen before, a lot of the general public.
Right. Yeah, prior to this renovation and restoration, our administrative offices were on the third floor of the building, but the second floor was derelict, and as was the basement. And so those two floors are being restored, are being renovated and brought to life, and they're big spaces.
And when you have the opportunity then to be able to utilize these for different purposes, it gives people more of that sense of kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, ownership. You know, it is your building, right? Citizens of New Bedford. Right. So this is your chance to be able to utilize that.
Excuse me. It is their building. And we want the building, and we're looking at all different ways that we can be a civic asset. We know how, and we take that very seriously. This is a city building, first of all, and city funds have gone into this restoration and renovation, as have state and federal tax credits, et cetera. And so, you know, we don't take that lightly. We realize, you know, we have to give back to the community. It has to be the community's building.
And so with that happening, you know, how are you kind of doing some outreach to some organizations? I mean, maybe it's something that you might wait until things are completed, but do you have plans to kind of, you know, connect with organizations to say, hey, this space is going to be available if it's something you'd be interested in utilizing?
Yeah. So, several years ago, even before before I think we even started planning with the architect, we connected with the city. I was involved in the first ever city's arts and culture plan, and we used that plan to help inform, how we designed the building. And then we did an additional study to where we did some outreach with, community artists and partners and organizations in the city to find out, these are the spaces that we have or might have or are looking at designing. How do you see yourself using them, if you see yourself using them? And so we took those conversations and that information to help plan, and we're still using it to plan things like, how will we design a calendar and how will we rent these spaces and organize it so that it's useful for all sorts of people? Will we have nonprofit rates and for-profit rates and things like that? So for sure, we've been already talking to the community, but we still have a lot of conversations left to have, and we hope that it'll just be ongoing, a real give and take.
And do you think that as this is done, and people get in there and see or experience it for other events that they might come in, whether it be Zeitarian events or things that other organizations are putting on, they're just going to come up with all these ideas of ways they can utilize that space that you might not even have thought of yet.
Yes, I think so. And certainly we're hoping that there'll be ideas that we haven't even come up with and that the building will inspire, and the programming that we start to do in the building will inspire others.
I think you're going to find that there's going to be a lot of interesting ideas that come out of it. And again, as I said, this is the next 100 years and beyond. But that being said, you're still looking at the fact that you still need a little bit more funding to get everything completed and get everything wrapped up. How can people help out if they want to help you kind of close that final gap?
Oh, thanks, Tim. That's a great question. Sure. So we have, this is a $37 million project. It's just still kind of doesn't roll off my tongue because it's such a big number. And we have secured about $34 million of that. So we do still have a gap of $3 million, and we're looking at the public and our community to help us fill that gap. And they can go to our website. We have a very active, interesting website where we're posting all of the latest news and photos of the ongoing project. And they can donate and help contribute and partner with us as we do this. We have an upcoming event on June 18th, which will be you'll be learning more about soon, at Cisco Brewery, which will also be a fundraiser for the project. And we'll roll out a seat campaign where folks can name a seat in the theater, and that'll be another fundraiser. So more things coming and more opportunities for the community to be involved and a partner in this project and help us fill that gap.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you coming on with us and giving us an update, and we'll keep checking in with you and finding out everything that's going on. And I can't wait to see everything finally all come to completion and be able to get in there into the all new, but yet still the same beloved Zeitarian Performing Arts Center.
Exactly. And thanks, Tim. I'm very grateful for to be able to spend this time with you.
All right. We will talk again soon. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
And again, that is Rosemary Gill, the president and CEO of the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center. And it really is. It's your theater. It's your building. And we want to make sure that you're aware of all the possibilities for the things that you want to do there. In fact, I can tell you, I'm already coming up with ideas for utilizing that speakeasy. So maybe we'll have a listener get together down there someday, right? All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we can take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. We will be back in just a few moments. And you out? Come on now. The best way you can help yourself out is by taking control of your energy, by creating it yourself, and by going solar. And who better to do it with than Isaacson Solar? They are not a fly-by-night operation that comes in and sells your solar panels and moves on to another town. They are part of the South Coast community. They're based in Fall River. They are not going anywhere, and they are your partner in solar. So if you would like to find out more and find out if your house is a good fit for solar, all you have to do is reach out to them. Go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com, and see if going solar is right for you. They will come to your home, they'll take a look around, and they will let you know whether or not you are a good fit for solar. It may be something that you can put on your roof, or maybe you want to put it somewhere else in your property. Maybe you want to also utilize your move to solar to add to your property, whether it be a carport or a solar pavilion that'll give you nice shade outside where you can sit in the sun during the summer, but also where it's gathering up all of those solar rays to be converted into energy. And eventually you're going to get to the point where the power company is paying you. So why not look into it at least, even if you're not totally sure, at least get all the facts so that you know. Reach out to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. We are going to take a break for the news coming up in just a few moments. When we come back on the other side, we will talk with Charlie Murphy of MO Life. We'll find out about all the great work they do over there at MO Life here in Fairhaven, and also how they are expanding. So we're going to get all that information from Charlie coming up. And then, of course, we can take more of your calls at 508-996-0500 and your app chat messages on the WBSM app. Don't forget, too, we always have great articles for you to read on the app and on our website, including my article from yesterday lamenting why we don't have any of these North Shore beef, roast beef places around here on the South Coast. You can take a look at some of the, I put photos up from Instagram of some of these massive roast beef sandwiches that you can get in places like Peabody and Danvers and Salem, and but we can't get any of that here. Why not? Why doesn't somebody either, you know, already existing here start making those sandwiches, or why doesn't one of those places expand to the South Coast? Come on, we like roast beef down here, and I promise you, you'll have at least one regular customer if you do. But the way that these roast beef sandwiches have gone over the top in recent years because of the popularity they've gained is impressive what they're doing. And when you see the photos of these, you're going to say, I want that sandwich. But I don't want to drive an hour and a half to get it. So that's why we need more options down here, whether it be, again, existing restaurants, and some of them do it. But we need more on a regular basis. We need to be a regular menu item. And then maybe North Shore beefs could become South Coast beefs, right? We made indents into the South Shore bar pizza game. Maybe we can do the same with roast beef sandwiches. All right, but check out that story and see some of the photos at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Right now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day with Mike Roberts.
A new prime minister for Canada, protesters against Tesla in Boston, and not a good start to the week on Wall Street.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Canada is selecting its next prime minister. On Sunday, Canada's Liberal Party announced Mark Carney was elected to succeed Justin Trudeau, who announced his resignation back in January. Carney is credited with helping to guide the country through the worst of the 2008 financial crisis while acting as the governor of the Bank of Canada. He's expected to be sworn in later this week. In his acceptance speech, Carney criticized President Trump's recent tariffs, saying that he's attacking Canadian workers, businesses, and families. Three people are dead after a medical helicopter crashed in rural Mississippi. The Madison County Sheriff's Office says the chopper went down in a densely wooded area. The helicopter was carrying two University of Mississippi Medical Center employees and a pilot. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves posted on X that he and his wife are praying for the victims. Not yet known what caused that crash. The FAA is investigating. Not a good day for stocks on Wall Street yesterday. Brian Shook has the details.
The stock market is having its worst start to a presidential term since 2009. According to Dow Jones market data, stocks suffered their weakest first 50 days of a presidency since President Barack Obama's first term. As of Monday, the S&P 500 had fallen 6.4% since President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. I'm Brian Shook.
Dozens of people staged a protest outside of the Tesla showroom in the Back Bay of Boston. Organizers say they held the protest because of the actions of Elon Musk and the Trump administration. Many signs referred to Musk as a fascist, and others urged people not to buy Teslas. The group is planning to hold weekly protests on weekends to continue expressing their displeasure with Musk. A Palestinian student's deportation has been blocked by a judge. Tammy Trujillo has that story.
A federal judge in New York is blocking efforts from the Trump administration to deport Columbia student Mahmoud Khalil. ICE agents took him into custody Saturday night, saying his student visa had been revoked, but his lawyer says he's here legally with a green card. He'd been involved in anti-Israel protests at Columbia University in recent months. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics extended their winning streak to 5 games after topping the Jazz 114-108 at the Garden last night. Boston takes on the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow at the Garden. The Florida Panthers are visiting the Bruins tonight.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Still chilly as you're heading out the door, but don't worry, we are going to warm up in a hurry today. Temperatures largely in the mid and upper 50s. For the record, our average highs are in the mid 40s this time of year. So once we get to numbers that start with a 5, things are looking good. Enjoy the sunshine and enjoy the mild air. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, and of course, we are featuring here on the program the South Coast Health Community Spotlight, in which our friends over at South Coast Health are shining the spotlight on local organizations that do good in the community. And, you know, that might not usually get a lot of the headlines. It might not get a lot of the attention. So this is the chance to shine that community spotlight on these organizations. And that's why we love to bring you the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. We are joined now by Charlie Murphy, the president and CEO of MO Life. And Charlie, tell us about MO Life and what the organization is all about.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, MO Life started 30 years ago in the basement of my house with a dream and vision of enhancing the lives of people with disabilities. And since then, we've developed an organization that has 70 employees, and we serve over 200 individuals in our community.
So what exactly will you do to help those individuals?
So we do independent living. We do career counseling. We do job placement. We do job development. We do residential services. And we also have a food pantry in downtown New Bedford.
And what are some of the disabilities that these folks might be dealing with?
So it's a variety of things that they come to us. We get we have a contract through Department of Developmental Services right in Bedford, and we are actually expanding now. We open our new office of MO Life North in Middleborough, Massachusetts this month. And so we're serving people from the Taunton area as well, Taunton, Middleborough area.
So it shows that the model that you've had has been successful because now you're able to expand that to other communities.
We are, and it's such a blessing. And one other thing that we've added to MO Life is mental health counseling services. So we also provide that aspect to the community. And we have five counselors that work at MO Life right now, five therapists, so to meet the mental health needs of our community as well.
And this is a situation where these are people who are looking to try to live regular everyday lives, but just need a little bit of assistance. And this is a way for them to be able to kind of overcome some of those obstacles and barriers that society just kind of puts in the way unintentionally.
Absolutely. I mean, some people need a little extra support, maybe a little extra support on their job, but they live full lives. You know, they make a paycheck like all of us want to do, and they save up their money. And we've done amazing things for like going on cruises. We just got back from the Providence Bruins the other night, and we just really participate fully in our community and have a lot of fun as well.
So it's not just about helping an individual, it's about being able to foster this kind of sense of community for them as well.
Absolutely. You know, we all should be a part of our community. We make sure that people are involved in gyms, membership, and involved in different activities in the community. We've had great relationship with the Fairhaven Rec Center, and we do a lot of, you know, interactive events with them and even the Belonging Committee for the town of Fairhaven. We really try so hard to be invested in our community.
But what are some of the challenges that you face in being able to provide these services?
Well, over the past 30 years, I've seen so much improvement, especially with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and really people really taking a true lead and wanting to make sure that people's lives are enhanced. And so I'm very blessed that we have people that have great careers, that have meaningful jobs in our community. We have people living on their own with some assistance, but you know, sometimes we just need a little interdependent kind of assistance, but we still can be independent. And so I've just seen a lot of growth. And one thing that you cannot replicate is a dedicated staff that really believe in the mission of MO Life and the vision of MO Life. And they serve our individuals with great care and respect.
And care and respect are a key thing because, you know, in the amount of time that you've been doing this, I'm sure, you know, you kind of just hinted that a little bit. You've seen a change in the way that society treats those who are differently able, that people might have had a tendency back then to not necessarily understand and to want to, you know, protect and shelter and maybe do everything for people. Whereas, you know, we run PSAs on the station where people that have disabilities are just trying to say, hey, I want to be treated just like anybody else. And organizations like yourself has helped make, such as yours, has helped people realize how to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And we have so many great organizations in this area that really do care and respect for people with disabilities in our community. And we are really blessed in the greater New Bedford area to have this, and now the Taunton area as well.
So you talked about the staff. And so what kind of folks come to work with you and to be able to offer these services?
So I have staff that are very gifted. I have a vice president of operations, Louisa, who comes with a wealth of information and knowledge. And she, you know, she has her master's degree in psychology, and she really provides such an enormous support to our whole organization. And I'm so blessed to have her and the multiple management team that we have, and even, you know, just every job coach that we have, every staff person that we have, they really care about our individuals. It really makes us very unique that we have like the present CEO going to a Providence Bruins game with everyone, you know, just one of the crew. And it's we treat each other equally. And that I think is really a good dynamic of MO Life.
It's a chance to go to work every day too and feel like you really are making a difference.
You go to work every day and you hear some struggles that some people are going through, but you also hear the joys, you know, or they had a really good day and they had this. And the smile. You go in there and you see smiles. You know, it's really a very welcoming environment. When I walk in the door of MO Life, it takes me about 20 minutes to get from the door to my office.
So, and now in this new chapter, we're having this new Middleborough and being able to expand to the northern part of the area. What are some of the things that you're hoping to be able to do in that area? I'm sure you've already kind of laid the groundwork to find some people who will be clients for you there.
Absolutely. We already have a caseload that we're already working with. And the Taunton area office has been incredible, wanting to have this new concept come to the area. And we're just replicating the MO Life program in that area. We're calling it MO Life North, and we're calling this MO Life South. And we're just going to replicate what we do. And people in that area absolutely love the idea of what MO Life does and what we've done in our successes.
Because you probably heard from people being down here of other areas, I wish there was something like this, you know, closer to here so that we could have more folks that could get involved. So now you'll be able to do that.
Absolutely. There's definitely a need. And so we're going to provide as much as we can to fulfill that need.
And how can people help with the mission of MO Life if they want to do so?
So we have a 30th anniversary this year. And we are going to be celebrating at the Venus de Milo on March 28th. And we're calling our 30th anniversary gala. We have a special guest coming. In fact, if people remember the TV show Dallas, we have a Bobby Ewing secretary, Deborah Tonelli, who is going to come and sing our national anthem and also share a personal story of her life and how it involves MO Life. So we're going to have lots of surprises. Some of the surprises coming up, we have the Katie Brienzo Memorial Award that we'll be giving out to an individual and some other awards along the way. And this money that is raised for the gala goes to our client services, goes to our food pantry services, and also scholarships. We do scholarships from the community through Dollars for Scholars. And so all the monies that's raised at the gala go to these three parts of MO Life, because the food pantry only gets services funding through fundraisers and this type of gala.
So it's a way to be able to support and know exactly where that support dollars are going to. So many times people go to these things and, you know, they're just making a donation by buying a ticket and, you know, who knows where it goes. But in this particular case, they'll be able to know exactly where their donations are going.
Absolutely. You go any Wednesday, you can go downtown New Bedford and look next to the post office and you'll see the lines of people that we have going to our food pantry. And we serve over 400 people a month.
Wow.
You know, to in non-perishable food items and some frozen food items that we get support from the Boston Food Bank. But we also have to pay the Greater Boston Food Bank a stipend and a delivery charge. So we need to raise funds in order to keep our food pantry going as well.
And you know, food insecurity is a big issue on the South Coast. And really being able to do everything in life kind of starts with, you know, knowing that you're going to have a next meal.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, if like I said, anyone has to just drive by there. If you want to see where your money goes when you do a fundraiser for MO Life, you'll see that. You want to see people in the community. You want to stop by the office on Lambeth Park Drive. You know, you want to go to the Taunton office, the Middleborough office. You know, please come by and you can see every day to day what we do in this community. Or you just see our people out there, you know, and they're fitting in. So you may not say, oh, they're from MO Life. No, they're just a regular member of our community doing their job or doing whatever they want in community membership.
And just getting a little bit of support from your organization.
Absolutely.
So remind everybody again about the gala and how they can get tickets.
So, all right. The gala is March 28th this month. It's at the Venus de Milo and it's from 6 to midnight. And people can get tickets by going to our website, www.molifeinc.com. And also, if anyone wants to sponsor, we have a sponsorship program for the gala. We have a program book. We have very, very many great items for our auction, which are incredible items, which I cannot wait to bid on because they're just awesome. So, yeah, so anyone can contribute in any of those ways. We are very blessed to have our supporters that help MO Life. You know, just local restaurants and even the Providence Bruins, the Boston Red Sox, you know, so we have multiple places that have really shined through and really supported us. And we couldn't do it without them.
No, good people doing good things. People always want to help out with something like that.
Absolutely.
All right. Charlie Murphy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Why don't we take a break here? When we come back, more of your calls, 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Welcome back in. Say, I'm going to direct your attention over to WBSM.com and the WBSM app about a heartwarming story from Fun 107's Gazelle about a woman who was saved in Wareham after she fell into the road by a guy who just wanted to do the right thing. So you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Good morning.
How you doing?
That was a good story to just hear. Thank you.
Yeah, a little positivity there. Said. Yeah.
Yes. Two announcements. It's got nothing to do with the previous person on. Sorry.
No problem.
5 o'clock today at the Federal Building downtown, there is going to be a rally. And it is a rally about things like possible loss of Medicare, Medicaid, and other related issues that have been threatened. Offices that have been threatened. So 5 o'clock today, a rally at the Federal Building downtown, and Saturday at 11 a.m. At Buttonwood Park, there's going to be a march. Same issues, anything having to do with decisions Musk has been making and Trump has been acting on, at 11 o'clock Saturday, Buttonwood Park, across the street from between Court and Union Street, that area, it will start. It'll be a march. Then that's it.
All right. Just really quickly, Catherine, just want to get your thoughts as someone who, you know, follows the city council and had some issues with Councilor Moore. What do you think about all this drama that's been going on with Leo Chiquette and the way that it's been handled?
Well, I think Leo is a good man. And I don't know everything about it, of course. But I think she's, Councilor Morad has been out to get him since the get-go. And I think this is all should be stopped. It's a waste of our taxpayer money.
All right. Well, thank you for the call and for the information.
Thanks.
Have
Bye.
A good day.
Have a good day.
And we are going to take our final break of the hour and get that done. Then we'll come back and wrap things up before we give way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast. Now, you know he's going to have some more to say about the fact that, you know, he's bringing you the new McCarthyism, according to City Council President Shane Burgo. So we'll get in. He says that Chris McCarthy is the real Ward 1 counselor, and he's the one that people are afraid of. So we'll get his take on all that coming up. But right now, let me get this last break in.
Now maybe did I mean to treat you bad, yeah, but I did it anyway, and then maybe some would say your life was saved, yeah, but you lived it anyway, and so maybe.
And welcome back in. Say, just to let you know, we got a story up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I actually just put it up a few moments ago. There was an earthquake this morning in the Azores outside of San Miguel, 5.3 earthquake. So you can read what little details we have at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And if we find out more, we can update that through the course of the day. But that's all the info that we have at this moment. But again, WBSM.com, the WBSM app, where you can find all of our stories, all of our podcasts, everything WBSM, live traffic, live weather. It's all brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. Stay tuned for South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. He's going to have a lot to discuss with you. Are you going to get into the Burgo stuff again today? Yeah. Okay. So you're gonna get the chance to talk some more about that. I know. He says beautiful weather for a tent city. So get ready for McCarthyism, which we should just rename the show. We should just rename the show McCarthyism, although some people might not consider him the hero that you do, but I think, you know, it still might make for an interesting show title. But either way, it's going to be a great show coming up with South Coast Now, and then, of course, we'll